Hey everybody, it's Becky Davidson, and I want to welcome you to the first podcast of February 2020. And this month at Rising Above, we are going to be focusing on marriage, and specifically marriage as it relates to couples raising children with special needs. And we're going to, throughout the whole month, through our Facebook Live post and through here at the podcast, we're going to be talking about marriage and how, you know, the different challenges and trials that come when you are raising a child with special needs, the challenges that come into your marriage, and just different ways to strengthen marriage as we raise our amazing children with special needs. And one of the things that we're really excited about this month is the upcoming release of our Together Retreat experience. Now, back in September, we recorded live a retreat where we had families from all around the country who came to Cookeville, and we hosted a marriage retreat for them on a Saturday where we had speakers that were parents who have children with special needs who spoke and pour into those couples who were attending the conference. And so we took all that material and we have created a retreat experience where you can watch the videos from that conference, whether you is it's just you and your spouse doing that together, or your church may choose to do that as a retreat, but all of that will be available starting on February the 14th on our website, risingaboveministries.org. So we'll provide the information for you in the show notes where you'll be able to find that retreat experience where you can download it and take part in the Together Marriage Conference. Now, this podcast is going to be a little bit different. Usually, I'm the one that is interviewing different people, and I'm the one asking the questions, but we're flipping the tables. And today, Kim Thorpe from here at Rising Above is going to be interviewing me about my marriage to my sweet husband of 26 years, Jeff Davidson. And Jeff and I met and fell in love and had our ups and downs in our marriage, just like any couple does. But we had just celebrated our 26th wedding anniversary when just a few days later, he passed away. It was so important to us. We knew how hard it was to raise a child with special needs and how hard it was on your marriage. And so it was so important to us to help other couples learn from our mistakes and for us to share the things that we had learned along the journey to help strengthen other couples as they raise their children with special needs. And so we, several years ago, hosted our very first Together conference that Jeff and I led and did together, and then just did those for several years because we knew how hard it was to raise a child with special needs, but we also knew how important it was for our marriage, for us to be reminded of the truths that we took vows all those years ago when we stood in front of God and stood in front of each other and stood in front of our family and friends when we got married, and that those vows were important, and that even though there were so many trials and so many things that came against our marriage, I can honestly say that in the end, we were stronger and better than we ever were. And so it is my heart's desire to carry on that legacy, to be able to share with other couples the things we learned in our 26 years of marriage, to help other couples, especially young couples who are just newly trying to navigate this life, to strengthen them and give them the resources they need to have the best marriage that they can have. So just sit back, get you a cup of coffee, and enjoy this podcast. Again, where it's the tables are turned a little bit, and where Kim is going to be asking me questions, but I can't wait for you to hear my heart and hear my love story with my sweet Jeff. All right, Kim. Here we are. We're doing this podcast a little bit different today. Yeah. We're flipping the table a little bit. So I'm trying to get myself ready because usually it's me who's asking the questions.
You're doing the interviewing, and today we're flipping the table a little bit.
Flipping the table a little bit. So So do I need to be afraid?
Not at all. I've just got a few questions.
Okay, just a few. Okay. Well, yeah. You know, I think marriage is such an important topic for us to discuss here because it's as special needs parents, there are so many things that pull at your marriage that can cause conflict in your marriage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to do anything we can do to strengthen and build marriages.
For sure.
And especially in the special needs community. And so I'm just going to be sharing a little bit based on your questions about what my life was like when Jeff was here and we were married. So
really the whole month of February, Rising Above is going to be focusing on marriage.
Yes.
And we thought what a better way to kind of get this going than to host a podcast on marriage specifically. So thank you for being willing to let us into your life and letting us into your story and sharing kind of your real and raw, you know, experience with marriage.
Well, you know, I was blessed enough to get to be married to my just love of my life for 26 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, never dreamed that I'd be without him.
Sure.
You know, and so I'm happy to share
Anything
that we learned on the journey.
Awesome. So start at the beginning. Tell me your story.
Okay. Well, I was a senior in college. Mm-hmm. I hadn't met anybody in college and I thought, okay, I'm getting ready to graduate. I'm getting ready to move back to Nashville and I want to get married someday, you know? And so I remember specifically being in my apartment and praying for God to send me who he wanted me to marry.
Okay.
And so I started praying that. And when I graduated, I moved back to Nashville. I moved in with my parents back home. Mm-hmm. And within a few weeks, I met Jeff.
Really?
Yes.
So prayer.
I prayed.
You started praying. And then within a few weeks,
I met Jeff.
Wow.
I met Jeff. And we.
That's fast.
It was fast. And we started doing things as friends, mm-hmm. you know, and hanging out as friends. We met at church.
Yeah.
And so then. Within we started dating. It was around July 4th of that year.
Okay.
We started dating and knew immediately. We knew. To be honest,
how long do you think?
Okay, so
a couple of dates.
Well, it was so funny because, he would tell the story so great. But I remember being in the driveway at my parents' house, and I'm getting ready to go back inside, and he looked at me and he said, "I think I'm falling in love with you." And he didn't want to say, "I am in love with you," because he wanted an out.
Oh, yeah.
In case I didn't love him.
Okay.
He needed to know.
Jeff. I feel like that would have been a great way to, like, put a little bit of vulnerability.
Yeah, absolutely. Trial balloon.
But not enough to, like, you know, over the cliff.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, because that was within probably date number 4.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah.
Fast. So what'd you say?
So I said, "Of course." I said,
"Of course you're falling in love."
I said, "I think I'm, you know, I think I'm in love with you too." And so,
awesome.
Within 3 months, we were engaged, and before I had even known him a year, we were getting married.
You know.
When you know, you know.
Yep.
And so, we got married and, started living our life as married couples and, all the things that those first few years of marriage where you're trying to navigate just living with someone new and just all those.
Have you ever lived with anyone other than
like roommates in college?
Roommates. Okay.
That's it. I mean, I went from home to college roommates to back home to being married to Jeff.
Yeah.
And, you know, once we got married, moving in with him.
And you had all sisters.
And I had all sisters.
Similar to me.
Yeah.
You and I both had all sisters. Yep. It was a totally new thing living
with
a
guy.
Boy.
I know.
I was like, "What is this?"
Crazy.
So funny. So tell me, did you have like the butterflies?
Oh my gosh. That? Well, it was so funny because my family would make such fun of us because we could not stand to be away from each other.
Aww.
I mean, like all the time. We had to be together all the time. And like even when we weren't together, we were talking on the phone. And this is pre-cell phone.
Sure.
I know that seems like people are going, there was a time before cell phones.
No, I remember it.
Yeah, pre-cell phone. And so it was so funny. We had this little code. And so I would call his office and his secretary would answer. And so we thought we were so cute. And we would go, "Well, just tell him 123, which stood for I love you."
Yeah.
And so he, so I would call and tell Bev, his secretary, I'd be like, well, you know, just tell him I called, just tell him 1, 2, 3. And, you know, we thought we were so cute.
Bev knew.
Bev knew. Yeah. Yeah. And so, but it was so sweet because that carried on.
Yeah.
That 1, 2, 3, we added in 1, 2, 3, 4, which stood for forever.
Oh,
I'll love you forever. And you know, I'll get into more of this in the story, but when he would be leaving to go into surgery or leaving to do we would just, each one of us, hold up our hand and hold up four fingers.
Hold up four fingers.
To each other.
Yeah.
And it was.
So that was something that you started at the beginning of your
marriage. Started at the beginning of our marriage.
And you felt like that was
carried
all the way through.
That carried through all the way through our marriage.
So would you say you were still, like, so you were super in love.
Yeah.
Super, like,
yeah.
I mean, giddy in love at the beginning.
Yes.
Do you feel like that carried throughout your whole marriage?
You know, I mean, as with any marriage, there's seasons where one person is more, I wouldn't say more in love than the other, but you just kind of go with the, it's just, you know, seasons of where you're more in sync with each other and and when you're not with each other. And I would say early on, absolutely. And I would say at the end, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, more so than ever at the end. But we went through, you know, just like you would in any marriage, the ups and the downs. And and obviously those, you know, those first years of navigating the special needs world was just life-altering, you know, for us. So.
Absolutely. So I guess what I'm asking, did it look different? Maybe you had that love throughout your marriage, but maybe it looked different.
Totally, yeah. It grew and it changed. And, you know, when you go from, you know, we went from Jeff was always the spiritual leader of our home. You know, I would say, he learned how to be the spiritual leader of our home as time went on. But he was always the leader of our home.
Right.
And so even though towards the end when physically he couldn't do things, you know, things had to shift because I became his caregiver.
Yeah.
You know, but our love for each other never changed. You know, it actually grew deeper.
Yeah.
Because we went through so much that we, it was like, you know, we are in this thing and we're together through this.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So some of our families have said to us things like this. We were like that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like we were real lovey-dovey, had the butterflies in the beginning. But now, that's gone.
Yeah.
So what would you say? So, like, what if you had that once and now it's gone? Like, maybe one day you felt in love, but now you feel like you have nothing in common.
Well, what I tell people, I've told couples this. I'll often say, go back in your mind to when you first met your spouse. Remind yourself of what it was.
Yeah.
That you, why did you fall in love with them? What was it about them that you know, and remind yourself of those feelings that you had, you know, that deep love. And, you know, love is, it's not, you can't look at it and go, well, I just don't feel this way. I mean, it's so much deeper than that. And so, but I think going back and just reminding yourself, okay, why did I fall in love with you in the first place?
Right.
What was it about that?
Or I wonder even, you know, some of those first dates you and Jeff went on?
Yeah.
Like, what if we encouraged some of these couples to recreate one of those first dates?
Yeah. Putt-putt. Putt-putt was our first date.
There you go. So maybe go putt-putt golfing.
Yeah.
And where that seems like a silly thing to go putt-putt when you're not really, you know,
like liking each other.
Right? You're not even liking each other.
Or have child care or have, you know,
but just to put you in that mindset of like
where we were. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and with our families, it's so hard because, like I said, to go on a date night, I mean, for so many families, that's so hard. But you can create things, even if you are doing it at home. To try to get back I think so often what happens is the conversation stops. It all becomes about your child.
Yeah.
And so you stop communicating about you as a person and what, you know, what you need and how you're feeling. And I think if you can make that a priority that you go, okay, we're going to take 5 minutes, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, to have this conversation, to have this connection. I remember someone told me, they said, make sure every day, when your spouse comes home, you are kissing your spouse.
Yeah.
Whether you want, I mean, that takes
no time.
You go in, you kiss your spouse, you can, you know, good night, hello, mm-hmm. goodbye, whatever.
You might communicate something to the kid, too.
Absolutely.
Like that you are saying hello and you are kissing your spouse and you are making your spouse a priority. Yeah. So I love what you just said a second ago. You were talking about you end up speaking about your child. Like that's all you talk about. Yeah. And so you become mom and dad.
Right.
It's like at some point you're going to have to take mom hat and dad hat off and put husband and wife hat on and pour into that relationship.
Because our kids need us together on the same page, working as a team. And, you know, I think if we can build strong marriages, if we can make that commitment to each other that, hey, we're going to take this 5 minutes, whatever it looks like in your world, that you're just asking that person, you know, how is your day? How are you feeling? Yeah. How are you doing? Mm-hmm. But just checking in with that person. And I think, you know, we were talking about earlier, but, you know, sometimes we get in our mindset, like you get so mad at our spouse or we get so angry at them.
Yeah.
And I think if we can stop and go, okay, yeah, they do all of these things. We focus on what they're not doing or what we don't like about them. Mm-hmm. But if we can stop and like every day go, three things. What are three things I love about my spouse? What are the three things that I love about my spouse?
Right.
And try to focus on those things instead of always going to the, well, they don't do this and they don't do that. Well, what
they
do they
provide. They do provide for my family. Right. Or they do take care of my son.
Exactly.
They do this. So I love that. So let's talk about respect and love.
Okay.
Okay. So how did you show respect to Jeff as your husband?
Well, if I'm honest and if I'm real, I would say early on, I probably didn't do a real good job about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I loved him and I showed him respect, but I still kind of, let's just say I have a little bit of control freakish nature in me, you know? And so, especially when it came to John Alex, early on, I was like, I know what's best. I'm the mom. I've done the research. I know what we need to do.
Right.
And wouldn't often bring him into that.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, in time, what I saw, there was a shift in our marriage in that Jeff really came into his role as spiritual leader of our home. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I mean, like, and took that by the, you know, bull by the horns and ran with it and led our family.
Yeah. And well, that's easy to respect.
Oh my goodness. So when I saw that he's praying for our family, he's seeking God for what we need to do for John Alex, then my respect level for him went through the roof. And so, you know, I could trust him in the decisions that he made. And I could trust that if he said, hey, I think we need to probably do such and such, I didn't have to be the controlling self that I was because I trusted him to lead our family.
Right. So what were some things that Jeff did that kind of showed you love?
Oh my goodness. Well, anybody who knew Jeff knew that he was a writer. So he would leave me the sweetest notes.
Oh, how nice.
And it was so sweet because even after his death, I was still finding
notes and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh man, what a gift.
And so he would leave me notes. He would send me flowers just out of the blue. He would send, I love gifts.
Yeah.
That's my love language. I love gifts. Yeah. And so he would, I mean, would send me just give me sweet, meaningful gifts. And just, he would tell me every night, especially at the end when being his caregiver every night. He would say, before bed, he would go, thank you so much for everything you did for me today.
Yeah.
And, you know, when things like he sent me flowers when John Alex was in the hospital right before Jeff passed away. And the card on the flower said, you are never more beautiful than when you are caring for our son.
Oh, wow.
You know, a lot of men would be, well, you're spending all your time taking care of our son and you're not doing what I need, blah, blah, blah. But he saw it. He saw the sacrifices that I made to care for our family, and it was beautiful to him.
Yeah.
And instead of holding those words in and choosing not to say them, he freely shared those words. So I knew that he had such admiration for me in my role as mother and wife. And so he was not shy about sharing those feelings.
Was there ever a time like that he didn't get it right? You were like, I wish he would just.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
early on, he saying thank you was really hard for him for some reason.
Okay.
And so I just remember going, Just tell me. That's all I need. I don't mind. Just tell me thank you.
Yeah.
And so I had that, but I had that conversation with him.
Yeah.
And so that's why.
Yeah.
Then every night.
See, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think I have a struggle with saying thank you, or I think things in my head, but I don't say them out loud.
Yeah.
And so just having the courage to say things out loud is really,
it's important. Really, it's bold, and it's, you know, but the thing was, I had to tell him, hey, I know this may seem silly to you,
mm-hmm.
but I need you to tell me thank you.
Yeah.
Because it just makes me feel seen,
right.
and acknowledged. And
did you say that in a time where you were already arguing, or did you wait for a time where it was like, hey, let's wait until we're both kind of in a good spot?
I honestly don't remember, but if I know myself well enough, the first time was probably in an argument.
Right.
But
well,
then...
No, I mean,
yeah,
I would too.
Yeah.
Because that's the first time you notice it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you never say thank
you. You never tell me thank you.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds so silly, but I think I was doing so much.
Oh, yeah.
And John Alex can't verbally tell me, you know.
A lot of our listeners, a lot of our special needs moms, they're doing a lot.
Yeah.
And they really.
You just need that.
Thank you goes a long way.
It. I think for me. It was, I know God saw me. I know that God was like mm-hmm. cheering me on. I get that. But just having that little bit of affirmation mm-hmm. of going, hey, I see all the sacrifices you're making. And I honor you. Acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
so,
are seen.
Yes.
I mean, that's
it's huge.
So important.
It's huge.
Yeah.
So,
for both of you,
yes.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So,
okay. So what did your marriage look like when you and Jeff were both doing this well? So he was loving you well, and then you were in turn respecting him well.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun. And we, you know, Jeff was the king of the one-liners. He was always funny. He had a great sense of humor, and he was
hilarious.
Funny. And he, like, we always could tell his mood by if we came, like, people, the staff
singing,
could always,
right?
If he was singing.
Yeah.
If you came to the office and Jeff is in his office singing 80s tunes, you knew he's in a great mood. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Y'all don't want to hear me sing.
But when we were both doing that,
uh-huh.
then you're in sync and everything's working well. When you know, things were out of sync, then
mm-hmm.
obviously there's going to be conflict.
Sure.
But the thing is, there's always going to be time that you're out of sync, because there's always going to be times. There were times when Jeff was, I'm going to use the word needy. Jeff was more needy than I was. But there were times I was more needy than he was. And so if you're willing to put, you know, for when I was in that position of, hey, Jeff, I'm like, one of the things he was great at, and I would just, man, just going to tell you, if you will do this for your spouse, it just was so life-giving to me. But, you know, I deal with a lot of anxiety and fear sometimes. Things will wake me up in the night. I will be fearful. Things will, you know, my mind will start going 90 to nothing. And I could go and I could wake up Jeff in the middle of the night. He could be dead asleep.
Yeah.
And I could wake him up and I could go, Jeff, I'm sorry, but I can't get this out of my head. This is really bothering me. He would not get mad at me. He would not
mm-hmm.
go, why are you waking me up? He's,
yeah.
you know, he would sit up. He would hug me. He would pray over whatever was bothering me.
Yeah.
And then we could both go back to sleep.
Yeah.
He never once complained about that. It was like he saw that
mm-hmm.
as his
a
way to take care of me. And his honor to do that
mm-hmm.
as his spouse. So then flip side of that,
mm-hmm.
when I'm caring for Jeff, you know, he would so often go, I'm so sorry that you're having to do all this for me.
Yeah.
You know? And I would tell him, I'd go, Jeff, if it were me, if I'm the one laying in this hospital bed, you would be doing the exact same thing for me.
Yeah. And he did do that for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. In the ways that I needed it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's exactly it. That's perfect.
But we weren't always there. I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
time, you know.
Seasons of life do different
I remember there was a time when we went through a season where, I mean, John Alex has always had sleep issues, but we went through... It was the worst we had ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly thought, I was like, I don't know that I'm going to kill him, you know, because we were so exhausted.
Yeah.
But we made it through that season
mm-hmm.
and we learned how to navigate that. And you know, if you're willing to step back and go, okay, what are we going to learn from this
mm-hmm.
season? How are we going to do this differently next time?
Right.
Then you don't get stuck in those same, you know, ruts of always responding in the same negative way.
Right, right. Always remembering that the two of you are on a team.
Oh, my goodness.
Facing whatever is coming
absolutely.
At you. Like, you and I are team.
Yes.
Davidson.
We would say, team. That's what we say. Yeah.
And go, we're going to attack this as a team, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, so I did a little research and kind of figured out some of the top things that cause division within a marriage.
Okay.
Okay? So some of the things. And so the number one cause is money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a sensitive topic. That's a sore spot for a lot of our families, because a lot of our kiddos with special needs have a lot of medical issues, and medical issues equal medical bills.
Absolutely.
And so there's always a need for you know, more money. Like there's never enough. So how did you and Jeff work through your money issues? You know, like, if you guys either disagreed, or how did you manage your money?
Well, I think, like I said, early on, I was the one who was like, did the research. I felt like I knew what John Alex needed. And so I'll be like, we need to do this. And Jeff would be the one go, okay, we got to quit chasing all these rabbit trails, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but we always, Jeff was a financial guy. He was a business guy. And it was just the natural thing in our family for Jeff to handle the money.
Okay.
It meaning that he paid the bills.
Sure.
He did any bank transactions and things like that. He took care of that. In other marriages, it may be the wife that does that.
Right.
But for us, that is what worked.
That's how it made sense.
Perfect. We didn't have separate banking accounts. We didn't, you know, everything was shared. But he didn't hide anything from me.
Right.
I would know, you know, I could totally go, hey, can how much we got here? What's the, but.
And asking questions never threatens.
Absolutely.
Leading in that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so we just, but for me, that was not my strong suit. And so in our marriage, it made sense for him to do that.
Right.
But we, you know, when it came to therapies and treatments, finally, I realized, you know what, I will say this. When I saw Jeff take on his role as spiritual leader of our home and take that very seriously, then we discussed everything when it came to the care of John Alex.
Oh, okay. So
and
like the therapies and treatments. Okay.
I mean, down to, does he need this medicine? You know, he's got a cold. How do we need to treat this? We had discussions about it.
Oh, wow.
And what was so great was then we made sure that we were on the same page before we did anything. He would not do something without my saying, hey, I think this is what we need to do, and vice versa.
So it was the same in your money as well
as treatments. Absolutely. And so, but when it came to spending money on treatments, then it was, we're going to have a conversation about it. I'm not going to try to push my agenda. You're not going to try to push your agenda. We're going to lay it out and go, and then really go, okay, God, what do we need to do?
Right.
How do we need to navigate this?
What kind of practical steps did you take to manage your money well? Like, did you have budgets? Did you, there's a lot of things out there that people are like, Jeff took care of it.
I mean, honestly, I mean, we were not.
He probably had a budget.
Maybe so. I don't know. He was, you know, that was, I let him, I let him handle that. Now, I will say, one of the sweetest things that he did for me was he created a file folder before he passed away that had all of the life insurance information. Mm-hmm. It had a page that had everything listed out as to what came out when each month, where it came out, you know, when things were withdrawn, what we had where. And so when he passed away, I knew where that folder was.
Yeah.
I went and got the folder.
Yeah.
And everything was right
that
there.
That is so good. That is practical. That's And I've heard you say that before.
Yeah.
And I have actually done that.
Like, wow,
I have created
that's great.
A folder that, because I handle our money.
Right.
I handle our family's money. Jimmy knows, like, we do everything together, but I know all that info. And so I put together a folder, and I know, you know, like, we know where everything is. So that's amazing. Thank you so much. Okay. So another way that marriages suffer is infidelity.
Yeah.
And so this is one topic that I don't want to skirt around. What is, like, no one's safe from it, first of all. The temptation for infidelity is everywhere. No one's safe. So what boundaries did you put in your marriage that kind of protected your family from infidelity.
And I'm so thankful to say that honestly was not an issue. You know, there was never any infidelity in our marriage. Mm-hmm. We were so committed to each other that was not an issue. But I do know that it is in so many marriages. And mm-hmm. some of the things that we did do, though, to mm-hmm. you have to put boundaries in place. You yeah. have to put safeguards in place. And so for us, it would be like, okay, we're not going to ride alone in the car with someone of the opposite sex. Yeah. Period. End of story. Not because we questioned right. that anything would happen or anything like that. Trust. It wasn't that. But it's the perception. Mm-hmm. What if we're driving down the road? Mm-hmm. I'm in the car, like with Jimmy.
Yeah.
I mean, it just opens the door
yeah.
to some kind of, you know, to speculation. I wonder yeah. where they're going. Yeah. I wonder what's going on there. So we made sure that, like, just we had boundaries in that way. We would never, mm-hmm. like, I will not counsel someone of the opposite sex. I will not mm-hmm. have a, you know, sit down one-on-one.
Yeah.
Especially with a closed door. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Jeff took it as far as if he were going into a building mm-hmm. and the elevator door opened and there was only one female mm-hmm. on the elevator, he would wait.
Yeah.
And go until mm-hmm.
What about like Facebook, social yeah. media? What kind of boundaries did you guys put on your marriage, or what would you suggest kind of
well,
a good idea?
You know, we didn't hide. Like if I could go to his Facebook mm-hmm. account anytime he could go to mine, we didn't like there just wasn't anything hidden. We yeah. didn't need to, you know, yeah. there just wasn't anything to hide. And so we didn't sure. feel like we had to hide anything. But, you know, if we had been contacted by someone from high school that maybe mm-hmm. we'd had a relationship with before, mm-hmm. you dated or whatnot, you know, you just go, I don't know that this is the best idea for me to friend that person.
Right.
And so you just didn't.
And you can talk about it.
Absolutely.
You can say, hey, this person.
Exactly. And I just want you to know about it. Yeah. Or sometimes Jeff would get, you know, because he was a writer and he was mm-hmm. a speaker and he was, you know, well known, mm-hmm. he would get messages, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes, but he would share those with me and just go, okay, this woman sent me, you know, yeah. just things like that. And it yeah. never was anything.
Right.
But it was just like, even if it wasn't anything,
yeah.
it was like, just want you to see yeah. this. And
Jimmy has said before, I don't think he'd mind me sharing, he said, he will tell me sometimes, he's like, this woman made eyes at me that I was kind of like, are those eyes you're making at me?
Like what
are you
doing?
Looking at me like
yeah,
this?
Yeah.
And we will talk about it and mm-hmm. I'll be like, of course she's making eyes at you, yeah, honey. You're yeah, beautiful. You
yeah,
know, like
things like that.
Of course she is. But he is never afraid to tell me those things.
Yeah.
And so just, I think what you're saying about not hiding.
That's the thing. If you don't have anything to hide, it shouldn't matter. And, you know, again, I think things like, what are you watching?
Mm-hmm.
What are you yeah. watching pornography?
Yeah.
Are you reading or watching movies that are going to open up the door
right. yeah.
to your mind? And I think, you know, even Hallmark movies, come
yeah.
on. Hallmark movies even
yeah.
make marriage and life and date seem like this picture perfect.
Yeah.
That's not real.
And that's not reality.
And that's not reality. And so if you are lining up what you think your marriage should look mm-hmm. like based on some romantic movie or based on, especially if you're looking at pornography, my goodness.
Right. These standards are not the standard
exactly.
that you want your marriage to be.
And
sure.
so setting those things in place where you're having these open dialogues. You're
mm-hmm.
not looking outside your marriage to be fulfilled
mm-hmm.
because you see each other as
right.
we are all that we
need.
And this
is part of that love and respect cycle as well.
Absolutely.
We were talking about that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what would you say to a mom or a dad, somebody listening, who might be in a situation where there's infidelity in their marriage
yeah.
and now they're considering divorce? They're wanting to get thrown in the towel.
That's a tough one because,
yeah.
you know, every situation is going to be so different.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard to say without knowing,
yeah.
you know, all the backstory, what you say. But, I mean, go get help. Number
yeah.
one, you
yeah.
know, go get help. What I hear so often, though, is that one spouse is willing to go get help
right.
when the other is not.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you that's your first step. Even if it's you who's been offended, you
yeah.
know, it goes and gets the help. And the
right.
other person chooses not
right.
to.
Or come with me. You know,
yeah.
I need help.
Right.
Will you come
right.
with me? You know, is a great way to
try
get somebody
to get started.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think, first of all, being willing to go,
mm-hmm.
okay, I've got to go talk to a pastor. I've got to
mm-hmm.
go talk to a counselor or something
yeah.
like that. But I will say this, too. you don't make a move unless you have a clear picture from God as to what you're supposed to do. And we have seen, we know of marriages where there has been infidelity and you think there is no way this is going to be salvageable. And yet they are stronger.
Two years later, they're the strongest one of
They're
everyone.
Stronger.
And they're counseling other marriages.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I never would say, well, just throw in the towel, give up.
Yeah.
You, there are things that you can do and never, ever walk away. You know, go to God and let him, he can take anything that's broken and put it back together and make it even better than
it's
what
like
it was.
That's
what
he does.
Absolutely.
You know, that's like, that's his best work is making broken things new again. Okay. So, let's talk about that whole, when we were talking about spirituality and Jeff being the spiritual head of your home. What if families are not on the same page? Like, what if mom and dad are not on the same page spiritually? Maybe dad is a Christian and mom is an atheist.
Yeah.
Or dad's not interested in church, but mom wants to go every week. Yeah. Like, how do we, what if we're not on the same page?
Well, I think you can set the example. So, if I'm the one who I'm a Christian, it's important for me to go to church, then I'm going to set the example. I don't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. I don't have to say anything to that person. I can, you know, be faithful in just sitting and letting them see, okay, I'm going to have my prayer time, or I'm going to be reading my Bible, or I'm going to be reading Bible stories with my child. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be just, and in the way that I treat them.
Right.
You know, if I am loving like Jesus loved, then, you know, he can get into those places and change hearts and change where people are in their life better than any word that I could say. So if I'm living out my life and living that example, you know, the hope is then that person's going to go, man, look at her.
She really is happy.
Yeah.
And she really does respect me. You know, and that, I'm with you.
I think it can be such a place of, you know, thankfully Jeff and I both grew up in Christian homes. We both were, we were at the same place throughout our marriage in that. So it was not an issue with us. But I know that it is. And we, you know, there's several families that we know where one spouse wants to go to the church, the other spouse doesn't. And so, you know, just living your life out as an example, allowing Jesus to love those people well through you. They're going to be drawn to that.
Exactly. And who knows what the other, like if you are the spouse who is a believer and is a Christian and you want to pour into your family spiritually and you're waiting for your spouse to come around, who knows what that spouse has been through?
Absolutely.
Like, has that spouse been hurt
at
by
church,
people?
Right.
Has that, have they been hurt by a church? Because churches are made up of people.
Right.
They're not perfect. And so they do hurt people. And so, it is that, you know, just being sensitive and acknowledging, hey, I know this is tough for you, you know, and not like you're
not
saying,
pushing,
not pushing and not making them do something they're uncomfortable with. And I like what you were saying. Okay, so you guys, a lot of the marriages that I have, or that I've had in my life, you guys really finished strong.
Yeah.
You just finished strong. And like you said, you, when you first got married and then towards the end, when you got, when you were towards the end, your marriage was the strongest it ever was.
Yes.
Okay. What is the one thing, because you know our podcast always ends with the one thing.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that you would say was your secret to finishing strong?
Whew, I don't know that I can narrow it down to one thing. But because there's several, I mean, there's honestly, there's several things. But I think, you know, we realized, you know, when we stood at the altar all those years ago, we were 23 and 24.
Babies.
We were babies. We had no clue what it meant to say those vows. None whatsoever.
And you had no idea what was coming.
Had no clue.
Oh, yeah.
But we stood there and we said that.
Yeah.
We quickly learned what those vows, every one of those, you know, not every one of them, but those vows were tested, you know, for better, for worse, for sick and sickness and in health, till death do us part.
Right.
And, but we, so we realized, we said, you know, we took a vow. We didn't understand that when we were younger, but when we were older, it was like, we made a commitment to each other. We're not going anywhere.
Right.
And Jeff wrote a beautiful post, and we'll share the link in the show notes, called There Is No Yet.
Yeah.
And in that blog, it just talked about, you know, we have been through more in our marriage, but we're not going anywhere. Right. We're here and we're committed. And I think mm-hmm. one of the things that we did early on, we were really bad about we thought we were playing, mm-hmm. but just picking at each other, mm-hmm. you know, and just,
sure.
And it kind of got old after a while,
yeah, yeah.
you know?
Oh, I can't stand that.
And then we finally were like, okay, this is stupid. We are supposed to be each other's best friend
yeah.
and cheerleader. So we flipped it and we yeah. became each other's biggest cheerleader.
That's awesome.
And you would never hear us. You would never hear me badmouth Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
If he and I were having a problem, I didn't go run to my mama and go,
yeah.
Mom, you're not going to believe what he did. Because what happens is you
yeah.
run to mama.
Yeah.
I forget. We make up. We're fine.
Yeah.
But mama doesn't
forget.
Yeah. And so.
He treated my baby.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so we made this commitment. We're not going to talk bad about each other mm-hmm. to anyone.
To anyone. Including your family.
Including my family.
We didn't talk about family. In this, but yeah.
But we will not talk bad about our family. I mean, about each other to our family.
Yeah.
And.
Or closest friends.
That doesn't mean you don't go get counseling when you need help.
Right.
That's not what I mean.
Yeah, or vent to a girlfriend, but not like in a disrespectful way.
Absolutely.
Like you always have to acknowledge he is my husband. He has a good heart. He is doing what's best for my family.
Right.
Like, you have to be respectful.
So we said we were going to be each other's biggest cheerleaders, and
that's
we
awesome.
Were. He was my biggest cheerleader, and I was his biggest cheerleader. And, you know, so I think when we were able to, mm-hmm. at the end, I can honestly say when Jeff died, I didn't have any regrets.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look back and go, oh, I wish that I had done. I mean, obviously, there's always going to be things you
yeah.
wish you had said or wish you had done differently.
I started this fight and that was done.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't.
But overall.
Overall, he loved me well
mm-hmm.
and I loved him well.
Yeah.
And went the day that he left, you know, that he
mm-hmm.
died, I didn't, I had said everything to him that I needed to say.
Yeah.
The day that he passed away,
mm-hmm.
I had told him everything
right.
that I needed to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so thankful for that because,
mm-hmm.
We finished strong.
Yeah.
We finished well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd do anything to have him back, you
sure.
know,
but
I know that he is, you know, he is happy and whole and
oh,
well.
Yeah.
And, but our heart, we saw how hard it was on us
mm-hmm.
just in different seasons. It wasn't all sunshine and roses. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
there were times that we were not in sync and not on the same page, but
mm-hmm.
we decided to take those times and learn.
Yeah.
From them.
Yeah.
So that's more than one thing, but.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And that's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to know. So thank you guys for joining
yeah,
us today.
Thanks, Kim,
thanks,
for flipping
listeners.
The table here.
Oh, you did great. See,
so,
that was painless.
A little bit. No, no, it was good. And I'm grateful. And so, you know, we're going to have information about our Together Marriage Conference.
Yes,
that'll
yes.
be all in the show notes, and we'll
yeah.
be sharing more information about that.
Yeah, that resource will be available, and then kind of something exciting, we're going to be releasing some free resources
yes.
throughout the year for married couples.
Yeah.
So just to kind of encourage you to do more dating of your spouse.
And
right?
the thing is, there are things that you can do at home.
Yes.
And there's things that are very low, not
oh, yeah.
a big expense.
Yeah.
And so we want to let this year be our year of encouraging marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
So there'll be more information about that conference where you can download that whole marriage retreat
mm-hmm.
experience.
Exactly.
What are we calling it now? We've called it
Together
retreat experience. Okay, I got
yeah,
it right.
You got it right.
I got it right. So thank you guys so much for being with us for the Rising Above podcast. And Kim, thank you for being a great interviewer.
Thank you. Thank
All
you,
right.
Becky.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. We would like to thank Jimmy Thorpe and Patrick Mayberry for providing the music for our podcast today. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.